You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. No matter where you are listening, you can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this hour after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a little breath. It's a little cleansing for your ears away from politics and all of the things that we deal with on a daily basis. Today, we're going to talk about names. The most popular names in America are out. We want to find out what you wish your name was. So think about that now, and you can join us after 10:30.
It could be any name you want.
Anything.
Just FCC compliant, but yes.
Yes, something you, as a kid or maybe even as an adult, I wish my name was blank. What do you wish you had been named? That's after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, we are joined by the owner of, is it More or M-O-R Foods?
It's More.
It's More.
Which means, it means mother in Swedish.
Mother in Swedish. Tracy Morgan Hernke is our guest. Good morning, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Now, from what I understand, you have a bakery and you specialize in gluten-free, which has become a really big thing in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yes, I do. And in the United States, it's become a very big thing in the last 10 to 15 years. In Europe and other places, it's been recognized. The way we look at it today, or even better than how the United States looked at gluten-free.
So you are offering options for people who have like celiac disease.
Correct. And I, so a little backstory very fast. I was the first employee outside of family at the first dedicated brick and mortar gluten-free grocery store in the United States that happened to be on 6th and Lincoln. So I grew up with the industry. I worked for the gluten-free trading company in Lyndon and John, who owned it for roughly a decade, and learned with everyone else what gluten-free meant in the United States.
How interesting. I mean, and it's, again, this has become a much more, the awareness has grown a lot in the last 10 years to 15 years. And it's a great option for people, again, who have celiac disease and who have other problems with grains. But we've been talking a lot about small businesses and the uncertainty, especially for small businesses. One day, tariffs are 145%. The next day, they're 30%. The next day could be 15. It's, you know, and in 90 days, it could change again. So as a small business owner, Tracy, what kinds of challenges are you facing right now?
Many. But I went into this year knowing this administration's focus on tariffs and tried very hard to bring in pallets of things that are now just sitting in my space, you know, money sitting on a shelf, because I didn't know what things were going to look like in 6 months. Will I be able to get them? What does that forecast look? If COVID taught me anything in this business, is try to prepare as much as you can on the front side, if you can. And right, that's the problem. You may not have the money that you can just have $2,000 worth of chocolate sitting on your shelves, waiting to put it into banana bread, very little pieces of it at a time. So, but those are the things that I did.
And because you are gluten-free specifically, the ingredients that you work with are already more expensive than, say, just your run-of-the-mill baker, right?
Correct. I tell people that my base flour, which all of my recipes are multi-layers of flour and starches in order to mimic what wheat flour has inherently. So, and because working with Linda and John at the gluten-free groceries, at the trading company, I saw a lot of companies come and go. So when I started developing my own recipes, I didn't want to be beholden on any one company's one for one and then have it disappear. So I bring in individual flours on pallets, and then we mix here in-house to try to keep everything as predictable as possible. And some days, you know, it works, and some days it's more challenging. However, a typical on the industry side, I just received a flyer from Restaurant Depot, which is nationwide. A 25-pound bag of all-purpose wheat flour is under $8 a pound, or for that package. My brown rice flour for 50 pounds is close to $50.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And something you said, too, is that this is not just stuff you can go find locally. You're looking all over the place for these products, and I'm assuming looking outside the country for some products, maybe, and it always affects. I mean, small business costs are always going to be a hard part of the bottom line. But for you, I imagine it's even worse. It's even more expensive.
It, to some extent, yes. And I'm not bringing in things myself from other countries. I'm trying to find distribution centers that are doing that already.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I work with people out of Michigan, out of New York, out of Oregon. You know, that's just for flour. Now let's talk about spices. Let's talk about extracts. Let's talk about oils. I don't use soy or corn oil. I use pomace oil, which is an olive oil, because it's, you know, just cleaner in a lot of ways. And so where are we sourcing that? Well, it's not coming from the U.S. more than likely. It's coming from, you know, the Mediterranean areas. So it's just interesting. We saw an influx, obviously, with COVID, and then we saw another influx with the beginning of the Ukrainian war. And now we're seeing, you know, eggs and everything else that's happening. And now we have tariffs to deal with.
That's something that I've heard small businesses talk about. I believe we, time is an illusion and construct, but I believe we had some, it was Will Sue from the ginseng farm.
Yep. We just talked to him.
It was constantly these hurdles. It was, you know, first trade war, then it was COVID, then second trade war. And now, I didn't even think, take into consideration the Ukrainian war. I mean, it seems like every time small businesses are trying to jump off that mountaintop to fly, there's something pulling them back down.
It's an interesting, I don't even like the term pivot anymore, because it's just duck and weave. It's not even a pivot. It's duck and weave. Yeah. Which, what direction does that look like today or for the near future? And then we just roll with it. So it, as for myself and my customers, I started more because my son was 13 pounds at a year in failure to thrive. He is not celiac, but he cannot consume gluten. He was gluten intolerant before it had a term in the medical community, which is non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So with that, he had other food intolerances. And so I stayed away from typical white rice, flour, potato starch, corn starch. And mind you, I've been doing this since the early 2000s. So since then, other flours have come through to be like, oh, that's safe, and those sorts of pieces. But for instance, I could not locate until just recently quinoa that's certified gluten-free that was less than $10 a pound. So I was physically milling it in-house for the recipes I used it for, because my consumers, my customers, which are our more family, I don't care if you order from us once in a while or all the time, we're here because of you, and that's our purpose. So gluten-free is already more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Gluten-free
right.
for a celiac is their medicine, and there's no discounts coming through your insurance company to be able to buy food that's going to keep you healthy. So I try to mitigate all of those unexpected costs as much as I can for them by what we do in-house. So I recently was able to find, finally, yay, quinoa that I can just purchase and not have to worry about that here. Or even flaxseed meal that I use, because I have a lot of everything that we do with every recipe, we try to see how far we can cast the net and how many people we can bring to the table, because it's also about inclusion and being welcoming and feeling like when you go someplace, they want you there. Yeah. And we eat around everything. We just do. Yeah. And so if you are going someplace and you have a dry salad because no one thinks you can do anything else, you don't want to go next time.
Right.
You
right.
You know, so that's what we do. So things like flaxseed meal, I was purchasing it from the East Coast, and now I found a better version of it on the West Coast. And it's just trying to figure out what works the best in the products that we create and how can we keep our clients as healthy as possible. I'm thrilled and willing to pay more money to find ethically sourced palm oil that is, you know, not wrecking our rainforest and all that kind of stuff. So those are personal beliefs that I have that I'm bringing into the business, and I'm willing to go that extra mile to spend that extra money and figure out how to work it into what we do.
If you're just joining us, Tracy Morgan Hernke is our guest. She's the owner of More Foods, which specializes in gluten-free products. We got about 2 minutes before we got to go to the break. Tracy, just to give you a little heads up, I'm sorry to interrupt you. What did you want to say?
No, it's fine. But it's so I had to contact another small business I work with for packaging, and I asked her, hey, how much are the clamshells going for right now? And she said, I have to raise the cost by $10 because of tariffs.
Jeez.
And that's just on the plastic piece I put the stuff in.
Yep.
And as a small business owner, your profit margin must be pretty tight the way it is.
Oh, incredibly tight. So what we ended up doing through COVID, we had pre-orders like a lot of places. We had some circumstances that led us to carry that business model longer. So now what I've told my customer base, every week we offer a pre-order menu. And on that menu are some items. And if you order ahead of time, you help me with my budget. I want to help you with your budget. Therefore, I'm going to charge you less than if you walked through the store and just bought that loaf of bread. Because there's no waste for me.
Sure.
If I can not have waste in both raw ingredients and employee hours, which quite honestly are the two biggest expenditures I have, I'm going to pass that on to you as my customer. And so that's what we're doing with the pre-order menu.
Small businesses are the backbone of our economy. They really are. We've heard that so much, especially during COVID. And I think that's one of the reasons why Wisconsin fared better than some other states, because Governor Evers was very specific about making sure that our Main Street businesses, our small businesses like yours, were able to keep going and stay alive. Check it out. We will include a link in our show notes to More Foods. If you need something gluten-free, absolutely check it out. Tracy Morgan Hernke is the owner, and she has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Tracy. Really appreciate it. We'll get back with you in a couple of months and see how things are going.
Okay. Would love that. Have a great day.
You as well. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, no matter where you are watching, perhaps in Amory.
Amory.
You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to our guest, Tracy, joining us talking about it's got to be really tough to be a small business owner right now. I can't imagine.
Yes.
Just the planning.
It is.
Yeah. As you would know. Yes. So, and if you have anyone who would like to talk about their situation, mm-hmm. we would love to talk to them. You can always reach out to us at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Send it to janesays@civicmedia.us. The same goes if you have a charitable event in your community that you think needs some attention. Maybe you know someone who would be great for Beyond the Cheese.
A tisbat.
This shouldn't be a thing. Mm-hmm. Please let us know at janesays@civicmedia.us. Real briefly, before we go to the bottom of the hour news, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from John Diedrich and Daniel Bice, Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan's case expected to go before a federal grand jury as soon as today. The 66-year-old Dugan is accused of obstructing a U.S. agency and concealing a person to prevent an arrest. These have a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison and a $350,000 fine. Sentences, though, in cases involving nonviolent offenses typically are much shorter. You will remember this case. It was earlier this month or last month, I believe, a suspect appeared in Dugan's courthouse. Mm-hmm. She was accused of letting him use a different exit into the public area where ICE agents were waiting.
Yes.
And then he walked past the ICE agents from things that I have read. One of the ICE agents rode down in the elevator with him.
Yeah.
But when he walked out of the building is when they grabbed him. So he is still in custody, which is good.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I think the big issue here is the entire performative of the cuffing of Judge Dugan. It was meant to shock.
Yes, it was meant to send a message.
Yes, to other judges.
Yes. The whole thing was very murky when we broke the news on a Friday, and by Monday we had already found out more information, and which was being reported in some publications versus others, because she literally showed him a different door that led him down the same hallway that everyone else walked through. And as you mentioned, Jane, he walked past ICE agents. He rode on an elevator with some of them.
She didn't put him under her robe exactly. And sneak him out.
Here's a secret passageway through my chambers.
Right, come this way.
It was literally just saying, go out that door. And he was as exposed to the elements of law enforcement as he would have been through the regular door, I guess. And also, and we talked about this with Jim Santel, if you want to go back to last week's episode, he talked about the fact that there was a different kind of warrant that was also presented as well. That has certain ramifications. I'm not going to try to repeat it because it's law speak and he's smarter than me. But if you want to listen to more about that, and I'm sure he'll be talking about that this weekend on Amicus as well. But this is performative. This is you better watch yourself.
Yes. It's an intimidation tactic.
Yeah, against a judge. And you know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court swooped in and said, we're going to suspend your license to judge and to practice law. People were asking questions about that. Apparently that is a very common thing to do as well, just to make sure there's no problems. But I mean, Matt Rothschild spoke about this morning on the show, and he said he doesn't even believe this is going to get
anywhere
because there's no basis for what she did to break the law.
Well, and she's put together a pretty high-powered legal team well, including a former U.S. attorney and a former U.S. solicitor general, and they issued a statement saying Judge Dugan will defend herself vigorously and looks forward to being exonerated. Hmm. Trump officials have said they routinely execute warrants and make arrests in public buildings because they know where and when a person is expected to be, and they know that person passed through security and therefore would be unarmed.
Yeah.
This is an ongoing thing. We will have an update for you tomorrow, I'm sure. But she's supposed to make an appearance or make a plea a little bit later on this month. Mm-hmm. So we will find out what happens with that May 15th.
But what it all comes down to after everything is said and done, and you know, whether or not this goes any further than a grand jury, they're arresting judges now. I mean, we already have evidence of them deporting incorrect individuals, whether they are U.S. citizens or persons who have their placement in this country protected. This is just absolute intimidation, and this is the whiffs of a fascist movement of, we don't like you, you're not American enough, get out, and we're going to send you somewhere else to what some have called concentration camps in El Salvador.
Yep. This is concerning. We will be following this story. And again, speaking of Jim Santel, he joins us now every Thursday from 9:30 until 10. So Jim Santel will be joining us a little bit later on this week. We have news coming up next, and then we will lighten things up when we come back. We're talking about names. What do you wish you had been named? I can't wait for this. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a little bit.
Ready afternoon, I got a blow a tycoon and a plane on my slide trombone. Anymore, anymore, can I take it anymore? Gotta get away from this storm. Shooting people that I meet with my rubber Tommy water gun. Here come the deputies, gonna come and get me. I gotta get me, get up and run. They got the sirens loose. I ran right out of juice. They gotta put me in the cell. If I can't go to heaven, will they let me go to hell?
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Callie Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the part of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a little breath and lighten things up a little bit and get away from the news for 15 minutes or so.
The angels have arrived.
The angels have arrived. And so we're going to talk about names.
Yeah.
They do this every year. We hear the top names for boys and girls in the United States. What's popular, what's not. So the top 10 girls' names, according to CNN, are Olivia, Emma, Amelia, Charlotte, Mia, Sophia, Isabella, Evelyn, Ava, and Sophia. And the top boys' names, Liam, Noah, Oliver, Theodore, James, Henry, Mateo, Elijah, Lucas, and William. My question is, what do you wish you had been named? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Maybe you love your name.
Yeah.
And you're thrilled with it.
Maybe it's a family name. It's tradition. That's
great. It
was great.
Inherited, you know, but passed down. You have to be something the third.
Yeah.
That's great. But I think a lot of kids, and I know I did.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be named something else when I was a child.
I did too, because my name, well, first of all, just for rhyming sake, for bullies, my name is a
cavalcade. It's an easy one.
Cavalcade of trauma. But also just, I mean, my name isn't a family name.
Gregory.
Yeah. No one in my family named that. My middle name is my grandfather's name, so that's fine. And then, you know, Stephen Bach. I already have an Uncle Steve, so it probably wouldn't have happened. But, yeah, I just, and now.
You never felt like a Greg?
I mean, I think the excitement of the name dictated who I became. Because Greg, as I've said before, is like, you've never seen a movie. Like, every time you see a movie and terrorists have broken, the world is coming to an end, we need help, call Jack, call John, call Chris. Something like, no one's like, get Greg on the phone.
Call Greg quick. He'll fix it.
No one's ever, no, there's never been a like, oh, this character for the new Mission Impossible movie. His name is Greg. Oh, he also works in accounting and he gets killed in the first 4 minutes.
And there's also rarely villains that are named Greg.
I feel like there's more villains going to be named Greg. Yeah, exactly. The closest I'm going to get is when it's like Russian, it's Gregor. And that sounds a little threatening. But yes. If you're Russian and you're a Gregor, you're probably like, what? It's just, my name's Gregor.
Yeah. Bleh. Yeah. What do you wish you had been named? Maybe this goes back to childhood. Yeah. I like my name now.
Yeah.
Because now Jane is a unique name.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't when I was a kid. I grew up with tons of Janes. Jane was a very, very common name in the 60s and 70s. And then, of course, we had the Dick and Jane books. And then there was also Tarzan and Jane.
Wow.
I cannot tell you how many times, oh, you're Jane? I'm Tarzan. Yes, that's exactly the reaction I had. And I really hated my name because it had no zip. It had no pep.
No pizzazz.
Like, it had no pizzazz. It's just plain Jane.
I'm not apathetic. I'm indifferent at this point. I'm a 47-year-old man. My name is Greg. It's not going to, I'm not changing it now.
Right.
I tried Gregory for a moment. In my
oh, did 20s. You?
No one.
See, I could see you as a Gregory.
But no one hooked on. No one would call me that. Like, I have a friend and his name will remain nameless, but he went by a nickname and it was a nice nickname. It wasn't like Shorty or Baldy. It was just like a 2-letter nickname.
Mm-hmm.
One day he said, I don't want to be called that anymore. I want to be called my full name. And we were like, no, we're not calling you that.
It's too late.
You've decided too late. And
you've been branded.
You went to Europe. We don't care. Okay.
855-752-4842. Talking about the most popular baby names. What do you wish you had been named? 855-75-CIVIC. Listening in Oshkosh on WISS. John says, not John. It really stinks sometimes. Ba-dum-bum. Love it. Stacy from Waukesha, Sloan Wilson. I wanted to be a CIA operative.
And that's the other thing too, folks. You don't have to say like, oh, my name is Steve and I wish it was Mark. Or, you know, it can be like, did you want to be Thunderbolt Cracker Jack? You know, like
anything.
Get creative.
What did you want to be named? If you could change it, what would you change it to? 855-752-4842. Carolyn from Heartland listening on WAUK. When I was young, I wanted to be Annette. I'm glad it didn't happen. Annette Funicello was huge.
Yeah, I think that's a nice, and that's the thing is like those names, you especially the girls' names for like the past, I don't know, well, more than 20 years, there's been a real harkening back to the, you know, those 50s, 40s, and 30s names for young women. I mean, my
Ava's an old name.
Evelyn, which I don't understand, but okay. But like now, I remember my sister, I have a niece, Molly, she's 23, and this is how I know it's been going for a long time. She really, really wanted to name her daughter Sophia. Like, really wanted to name
her Sophia.
I have
a niece named Sophia.
It's a beautiful name. I know a lot of Sophias, a lot of Sophies. Love them all. Maybe not all. Point is, she told a really close friend that, and then her close friend named her daughter.
Stole the name.
And she was livid.
There's a Sex and the City episode about that. There is.
Granted, I love my Molly, and I couldn't. I mean, of course, she's my Molly, and I love her, and she is a Molly. There's something about her energy that says Molly. But yeah, I just feel like that's just so.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text. What do you wish you had been named? Maybe there was something you wished you had been named when you were a kid. Greg on the live stream says, my mother called me Gregory, usually when I was in trouble.
My mother would never call me Gregory when I was in trouble. She would just yell. But she called me Gregory Beggary.
What?
That was her nickname for me, Gregory Beggary, when I was a little kid, when I was little. That's what my mom called me.
That's kind of cute.
Liz from Sockville wins. Liz from Sockville's listening to WAUK. I wish my name was Tatiana.
Ooh.
My husband calls me this because he says it sounds sassy and says I'm sassy.
Oh, I love that. Peter from New London listening in Green Bay on WGBW. Anything but Peter John. I was named after a male appendage in a toilet.
Oh, man. And I just...
855-752-4842. Calvin, what about you? Calvin is an older kind of name. Do you like your name? When you were a kid, your parents had named you something else?
Yeah, I never really had problems with my first name. I always liked Calvin. For me, I never loved my last name growing up. My side of the family pronounces it Butenhoff. Mm-hmm. But if any teacher or anything reads it off of a thing, they pronounce it Buttonhoff. So exactly, Greg.
Hey, Calvin, you button off that game.
So that was always, wasn't like, God, I don't really like my last name. But I've kind of, I guess, grown to accept it.
I like Calvin, too.
Calvin sounds like an old world farming strong name. Like, you know, Calvin will build a barn. He'll take care of us in winter. I like that name.
Or the head of my church.
Yeah, exactly.
Calvin.
Pastor Cal.
Calvin.
He's the cool youth pastor.
Yeah. I really want it to be Magda.
I'm sorry.
Magda or Sonia.
But no. You're just going to say a name and a totally not thing. What? Magda?
Magda or Sonia.
No. Don't say it like it's... Magda isn't a... What is that?
It's a great name.
Who?
Me.
So you just came up with two syllables.
I read lots of books. I must have read it in a book somewhere.
Okay.
Probably after I read War and Peace or something.
Because honestly, I heard... When you said Magda, I heard Maga. I'm like, wait, what?
No. Magda. Or Sonia. Sonia's a beautiful name,
yes. But Magda just sounds like amorphous shapes to me. Like, here is your toy Magda.
That's Mazda. again, I just want... Jane is so... It's one syllable. Yeah. It's not snappy. And again, it rhymes with insane and plain and like you.
Insane.
Insane Jane.
Yeah. This is the thing is, I'm not a parent. I don't have children that I know of. Am I right? Ugh. But I always think of this with a kid. I know one of the testers for a kid's name is how easily it is for people to make fun of them. But I think that's kind of... That's difficult because kids are creative.
And they're going to make, yes.
What you do is you teach your kid how to deal with those things.
Yes.
But I think the test of a real great name is it cute on a baby? Is it functional on an adult? And is it adorable on an old person? So like perfect example I always think of, Ruby.
Ruby's a great name.
A baby named Ruby is adorable. A woman named Ruby, living her life. And then Grandma Ruby, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 855-752-4842. We're talking about the most popular baby names of the year. And then what do you wish you had been named if you could change it? What do you wish? Listening on WAUK, my name is Mike Secklin. I wished I was named Led Secklin.
There it is.
Like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I love that. Sue from Franklin. I'm okay with my name. Susan, also known as Susie, Sue, Suze, and when in trouble, Susan. My mom was thinking of Alicia Louise. I'm glad that didn't happen.
I don't know. Those are pretty names.
Alicia's a very pretty name.
Alicia Louise. That's also... That's,
we have a friend who named her baby Frances Louise.
Yep. And that is also the other thing, too, about a name. It's got to have good flow. Do your syllables flow well as well? That's another thing to consider when naming a kid. Like, my friend's name is Dan. Just Dan.
No middle name?
There's a middle name, but like the flow just kind of stops.
That's it.
Yeah, it just kind of, ugh. I'm Gregory Stephen Bach. That has good flow. It tumbles well together. If you want to call me that, you can call me all of those names.
I have to call you Gregory Stephen Bach?
I am a second place WBA award winner. I have a piece of paper in back.
Show me some respect. Yeah, I'm Jane Ann, meh.
But Christine Slinger says Jane is a beautiful name. And I don't disagree with it. Jane is a classic name. It's a classic name.
Now it is because it's old.
But
trust me, I'm happy. I'm fine with it now.
Yeah.
I'm a little too old to be a Magda, I think.
Especially,
or a Sonia.
Because they're either going to call you Mazda or Maga, and you're going to be upset either way. So I don't think, I think Jane, yeah.
Carol understands. Carol from Waukesha says, I understand, Jane. Carol isn't glamorous. It's the name of a nice neighbor. Yeah.
Hey, Carol! Where are those brats?
Yeah, I just wanted something that had some zing, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, and you know what? In like in 20 years' time, all my friends who are named Aaron and Jennifer and Emily are all going to be
Tiffany's, all the knees.
Oh, my gosh.
All the knees.
Oh, Jane, can we just think about Grandma Tiffany and Grandpa Tyler or Zach? You know, like...
Zach is cool. I like Zach.
Grandpa Weston.
Grandpa Weston. And Tom on the live stream says, Jane with her binocs. Speaking of, I'm going to get some after the show.
Are you?
For bird watching.
Haifa.
For bird watching.
Calvin says, Magda is a feminine given name of Polish origin, a shortened form of Magdalena. Magdalena is beautiful.
Magdalena. Now you happy?
Yes.
I can be Magdalena.
Magdalena.
Magdalena Matinair.
Magdalena on the air. That's our Halloween show.
We're rebranding for tomorrow.
That's it.
Stay with us when we return. This shouldn't be a thing. Kitty's Got a Grill edition. Stay close. You're listening to Magdalena on air. We'll work on that. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Cavitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We still have a couple of texts coming in about if you could pick your own name, if you could rename yourself, what would it be? Andrew from Maine texting in, Jane, if you change your name to Magdalena Ophelia Matinair, then I can say I'm mom.
There you go. Mom on the air.
That would be one way. Roger from Stevens Point. Magda was the third Gabor sister. She was married 6 times.
And we looked it up. Between all 3 Gabor sisters, 20 husbands.
Wow, busy.
Yeah.
They were busy. And Chris Alfheim in Appleton says, my grandmother was supposed to be Domicella, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather spelled it wrong on the birth certificate, ended up with Damozel.
That sounds like
a
Marvel enemy. Here comes Damozel.
Oh, that's great.
I realized, too, like when I was born, my parents said, you have a baby brother. What do you want to name him? She said, Daniel, he said, his name is Greg. I mean, what were they expecting? What were they doing to her? So mean.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's really not fair. It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
And as we told you earlier, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one in Newsweek. It's the Kitty Got a Grill edition. Headline reads, cat gets $5,000 gold tooth, becomes an internet sensation. A mischievous cat with a taste for destroying mom's stuff has left TikTok viewers in stitches after a clip of her showcasing her new gold fang. 22-year-old Clarice,
I hate this already,
from Denver, Colorado, says, when my cat Tofu broke her tooth,
oh my God,
the vet gave her a real gold grill for $5,000. She told Newsweek that in December of last year, she was out visiting family. Her fiance was watching her cat, called and said Kitty Tofu had cracked one of her front teeth, leaving the pulp exposed. They think that she, you know, she spit out the tooth or she swallowed it or something. So they took her to the vet, and the vet decided to give her a gold tooth for $5,000.
No, the dentist decided that a gold tooth was an option, presented the option to Tofu's mother. What's her name again?
Clarice.
Of course. And she said, I've got $5,000 to burn. I live in Denver. Everything's very expensive. Would you like some legal marijuana? This is insanity.
After the accident with Tofu's tooth, a feline dental specialist,
of course that's a thing,
gave them a couple of options, either pull the tooth or save it with a hypoallergenic gold alloy crown. That decision was a no-brainer, she said. Tofu, the kitty, is still under 3 years old. Still lots of life. You could have just pulled a tooth. But no. And most of the fees incurred did not come from the gold itself, but rather from the related costs of the procedure, because animal surgeries are very expensive. Because
it came with a gold chain, a little fedora hat, a small cigar.
And an entourage.
Hey, you better pay up. You better pay up that catnip.
She's surrounded by little kittens that just follow her everywhere. Yep, so there is a video element of this.
Oh, grand.
I know, that we will include in the show notes so that you can check out the kitty grill on your own. The video has gone viral. It's got over 10 million views.
Jane, you ever just, I don't want to sound cynical, but you ever just look around the world and see stories like this that look up in the air and just go, we weren't what you intended, weren't we, God, huh? So, yeah, that's just my thoughts on that exactly. But what am I would
do it for Maybelle.
I wouldn't, no. I wouldn't get her a gold tooth. There had to have been other options. It's not just gold. When's the last time? No.
Okay, Maybelle, if you're listening, you're not getting a gold tooth.
If it's covered by her pet insurance, maybe, yeah. But even still.
I have a feeling that wouldn't be covered.
No, I don't think so at all.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, we will have an update on Judge Dugan making her first court appearance, that and much, much more. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. Thank you for your kind text, by the way. It really means the world.
Seriously, like, it means the world that you listen. It means the world that you interact. But it also, like, Cassandra, thank you for the wonderful words.
Yes.
It
means so much.
Without you, there's no us.
Absolutely. There is no reason to do this.
Exactly.
Without you. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman takes over from 11 to 2. Todd Alba from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabba wrapping it up with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.